You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day, and I'm Rhett Palmer. How are you? You're important to us. I want you to know that whoever you are, wherever you are, you're tuned in, and I have one of my favorite people on the earth at this time, as long as he remains humble. At this time, until he ticks me off, like most of us. So how are you doing? It's Pastor Rayborn, and
yes.
It's spelled R-A-B-O-R-N.
Yes, sir.
Very simple. Also, your first name is Trevor.
Yes.
And instead of T-R-E or whatever, just T-R-E-V-O-R.
Yep.
Simple. So you're a simple guy, Trevor. Your father before you was a doctor. Your brother's a doctor. Your grandfather before you was a doctor. You were in pre-med, and you meet this beautiful little girl who's a physician's assistant today.
Yep.
And she is your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she brought
Melissa.
You to the Lord.
Well, it was my last year at college. We went to Florida Atlantic University, and, I kind of grew up in a nominal Christian home. You check box, Christmas and Easter services. That was kind of the extent of my Christian upbringing. But really, when I was studying biology at FAU, you just get into the details of the cell and how complex life is at the smallest particle. It just appears.
Amoebas.
And so I just thought, this had to have been designed. And if something was designed, there must be a designer. And if there's a designer, maybe that's God. And so I spent my last year of college talking with a lot of people about who God is, and if there is a God, how can I know him? And I remember meeting this young gal in my physics class who at that time was doing something with an Easter Holy Week thing at the school. And so I knew she was a Christian, and I asked her a question about why a good God would ask Abraham to go kill his son Isaac. And so she gave me a quick answer. It was a foreshadowment of a substitute being given.
Hey, if your God's real, why would he ask his best friend to sacrifice his son?
Yeah, but then she pointed me to a campus ministry. And this is I have a huge heart for campus ministry. Being able to bring the church to university campuses is so important because that got me plugged into a Bible study, which got me invited to church. And that's where the Holy Spirit really grabbed a hold of my heart, and I gave my life to him.
Well, what would finally happen? Usually, it's like a light switch. I mean, but Jesus said, make sure you're born from above. And some people have an outside appearance of religiosity, or they may even have church attendance, perfect church attendance, but they may still not know God. What is for those of us who've had this experience, folks, he said to Nicodemus, make sure you're born from above, once of your mother, but once of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
What brought you to that point where you really submitted and surrendered?
I remember in a church service, when you feel the weight of your sin, I mean, I knew that I did not stand right before God.
But you don't seem like a bad guy, a super sinner, or riding motorcycles, or a...
But when you begin to realize...
I'm riding motorcycles.
Yeah.
Sorry about you motorcycle drivers.
Yeah.
I was going to go on with that like the Wild One or something, the Wild Bunch.
I'm looking back at that moment, and I'm just thinking to myself, when you know you're not perfect and God is perfect, there's no way I would ever be able to be right with him.
So suddenly that knowledge accentuated your sin?
Yeah. You see your sin and you're like, I'm done with that. And I'm thankful that the Lord would pay for my sin, and not that I could pay for it. That's the other thing. It's not like I have a lot of bad sin in my life, but now I'm going to start doing the good things to cover it up, and maybe God
would accept. Your own
no.
way.
I knew that it was wiped clean because of the work of Jesus Christ. And I remember in the middle of a service that just connected with me so well. And I think the joy that I was so wanting to desire, because in college, you do crazy things, you do things that are dumb or stupid or whatever, and you never feel joy at the end of the day. But when you meet Jesus, you know, like...
Sin has its moment, a very short moment of what you think is joy. Right. It's like taking a drink. I haven't drank in 14 years myself. You take a drink, and as soon as it hits the stomach, oh, it feels good. And then you try the rest of the night to repeat that. But it's a depressant. So within 15 minutes, actually, you're unhappy. You don't even know it. You've gone into a depressant world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I remember that service. I gave my life to the Lord. Yeah. I came up on an altar call. But really, it was a genuine change of heart, something that the Lord began. And I'm grateful. And then that wonderful lady that in my physics class, we ended up dating some time later. She did not want to date me. In fact,
she didn't want to date you.
She sat all of her friends between me and her in the church services. And I think we always kept at least, you know, 8 different Bibles between us. So
she didn't want to give the idea that she was interested in you at all.
Right.
And it wasn't like a game. It's just that she wasn't interested.
She wanted said, I want his, if you're making a genuine profession for Christ and you're trying to do this Jesus thing, do it for you. Not for me.
Yeah.
And I remember she sat me down about that, and that didn't stop me from going to church, studying God's word, and honestly, very respectable. But then the Lord really placed it on my heart to, you know, find a wife.
Let me before you finish that, I just want to say this for anybody that's listening. A radio show just like this, when I was much younger, like 40 years ago, I heard Billy Graham on, and I got it suddenly. That if you have a bunch of tin cans tied around your neck with strings and they're banging behind you and that's your sin, that there's a place of new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got this concept, went, oh, my word. In other words, whoever you are, wherever you're, who you've been sleeping with or who you have not been sleeping with, where you've been sleeping, what you've been doing, what you committed, what you haven't done that you should have done by commission, omission, whatever it is, he can absolutely give you a brand new beginning, a new start, and all that stuff can be forgiven if you will surrender to Jesus.
Let me tell you, we serve a God of second chances. We really do. And it's only through Christ do we have that second chance. There's no other world religion that offers that. There's no other faith that offers that kind of free grace.
Well, and others, they say you have to give your life up for Muhammad, or you have to give up your life
right.
for this. Or
everyone's having to sacrifice your life.
And Jesus said, no, I'm the one. No, in this situation, I pay the price. You don't have to pay the price.
Yeah.
All you have to do is accept my gift.
Yeah.
Humble yourself and accept
it's a
my
theological
gift.
Term, but it is accurate when we say God condescended to us. Literally, God came down to
mm-hmm.
us. Every other worldview is you got to work your way up. That's not how it
he
works.
He told me very clearly, Rhett, you did not call me. I called you, and you accepted.
Yeah. So, you know, on a separate side note, in a church service, maybe if you go to a church that's got some kind of liturgy or something like that, there's something called a call to worship.
Yeah.
It's not that we call on the Lord, although we do come in the church and we call on Jesus Christ. It actually is God calling us into worship. You know, that's the start. Yeah, that's what a call to worship is. God is calling you to lift up the name of Jesus, and then there's some kind of banter back and
forth. I grapple with that, having been a musician and leader of praise and worship at times in my life, and you go, does he really need this? Or is it just like when I was younger, I had a harsh person in my life when I was younger, a male, who would yell, drink a lot, and yell at me. No, nothing physical. But when I first heard that the Lord said, be thankful, this is how I heard it. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. You know what? You better be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I realized over time, now you have a nice dad. Your mm-hmm. father's a physician, he's a very loving man. I didn't have that. And so I realized over time, no, he's not yelling at me. He's saying, be thankful in all things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was driving down the road today, and I said, you know, I have a more modest car than this other lady that pulled up at the post office. I said, but I bet you I'm more appreciative than her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might be wrong,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's kind of like a starving person. You give them a peanut butter and jelly. You're used to having steak and lobster or fancy food drizzled and everything every day of your life. And yet somebody comes off the desert and they're thirsty and they haven't eaten in a week.
Yeah.
They're going to have peanut butter and jelly, and it's going to be the greatest gourmet meal they ever had. And it's all psychological.
Yeah.
But be ye thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. Even when we're in tribulation or in the valleys, right, Pastor Rayburn?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think about when we when we look at our own salvation story, if we've committed our life to Christ, we're thankful that the Lord would even consider us. Because you're right. Why would the Lord even bother with his creation? But, you know, this is where...
Who art thou that you're mindful of me?
Yeah.
Who am I that you are mindful of me at all?
But here's the good news about our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
God is is Trinitarian. So we have our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
In himself, he's fully relational to himself. Does he need us? No. But this is the beauty of God's character. See, he is such a loving God. God is love. God is good. He's not good because something makes him good. He's not love because he does loving things. It's his nature. His nature is also relational. And so there's a natural overflow or a natural overflowing of his love that pours out amongst himself, off of himself, onto his creation. It's kind of because he's built relationally amongst himself, that's his own intrinsic character. So he becomes relational to his creation.
They shall know ye are my disciples by the love ye have for one another. Not by the attendance at church, not by your good deeds, although they will follow naturally by faith.
And I had a lot of that mix up in my own thinking until I started reading the Bible. And that really changed everything. You know, if the question I also had was, if the Bible was true, if I took it as a hypothetical, there's consequences, good and bad. I mean, if it's true and you're a Christian— wonderful. If it's true and I'm not a Christian, there's hell.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart.
But
I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. What is it? Righteous shall add these unto you, or something like that. What does it say?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I forget.
But that's a little of my story. And that was about, I'd say 16, 17 years ago.
Wow. So your wife, who has an unusual beauty about her, what was the word that Barbara used? It's like foreign or something, some certain
the
word.
The first time my dad met Melissa, because I brought her over to our house, he says, "You smile with your eyes." She just has She does.
When she was in here for the first time doing an interview, like, I don't know, a year ago or something, she leans in and goes, "Okay," and she brings up this big, toothy smile.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, is she aware that she's giving this as a gift? And then smiles, like it's punctuation, blah, 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 right? And then she looks at you. The smile comes out. The eyes, you're right, she twinkles, and she smiles with her eyes. And it's a gift.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you as a guy and the husband, don't you have times when maybe she's a little— maybe you're having a tough day, and then she just melts you with that lovely look.
You know, I think we shared this once before at a coffee shop. But
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.